Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone's even on Monday. Let's have a day. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Steel and Naz, episode 68. Mike Steele laughing for the 68th time on the intro.
Of course.
Steele and Naz brought you up by HedgeBetter from our guy Justin Fine and everyone at the headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Tonight, we're one episode away from Magic Mike's big episode.
But 69, coming in hot.
Boxing manager Ryan Roach on the pod, member of boxing's legendary families, the Dedham native, has put together a talented group of fighters that share the one goal of bringing home a title belt. We also went over the whole Francis Hogan thing. I think everyone's friends here. We also got into, you know, him with his uncle, with Manny Pacquiao, the whole nine yards. And you can fight on one of his cards at, you know, Punch for Parkinson's
in October, yeah.
Yep.
I'll be fighting.
The return of Magic Mike.
The return of Magic Mike for charity.
There you go. What did you think of the interview, Magic?
It was very good. I love the boxing guys. I'm jealous of him.
Did I say I did my research too much?
No. But he's got too
much. Now that I have you on the air, you're saying I didn't do it too much?
I didn't say that. He said that.
Okay. Well, two to three times. Okay. Won't back down.
Well, afterwards,
but he did his research.
Afterwards, we'll recap the Rams demolish over the Cincinnati Bengals in Super Bowl 56 and how we lost and we won on a couple prop bets, on a couple game bets. The Celtics are back. You can put a couple question marks there. They might be back. They've won 9 of the last 10. We'll see what they can do in the playoffs. But, you know, picking up White from San Antonio has been a big pickup. I won't dive into the whole thing, but we discussed that there. What do you think on the Celtics coming back, Steele?
I think that's an exclamation point, and you're terrible at reading.
I think I know that, but I think the question mark's better. I'm Ron Burgundy. Also, sure. We capped off.
Let's go.
On a great end of the bean pot between BU and Northeastern. We got into a little bit of the Kanye West versus Pete Davidson feud as the inaugural Magic versus Showtime debate came, and it kind of went, but it came for a little bit. And
it popped off for a sec there. It popped off.
It was good. It felt good.
Before I let it rip, I want to give our condolences to our guy, Danny Chow, his dog, who, you know, podcast dog, came to us to Junkyard Dogs in West Roxbury. I want to give his dog the respect level that it deserves. And Toby, rest in peace, passed away a couple days ago. I'm sure, you know, if you walk around Quincy last decade, you've seen Danny Chow, and right by his side has been his dog. And I couldn't be, you know, at least more happier to be at least in the presence of the dog throughout his life. And
Toby was in headquarters one time. He was everywhere. Toby traveled the entire country on trains, planes, fucking you name it. He went to Burning Man. Yeah. We haven't even been to Burning
a
Man.
A bus, everything. I mean, he's been everywhere. I mean, legendary dog.
Lived
legendary.
A hell of a life.
Absolutely.
R.I.P. Toby. Miss you already. Toby. We'll see you again, brother.
And I also want to give a big shout out to my brother Dan Naz on getting married last weekend. It was a great wedding, great stuff. Thought I gave a pretty good speech. I think everyone else said so.
Nice work.
Yeah, there we go. Let's let it rip with manager Ryan Roach. We're now joined by boxing manager, Dedham, Mass native Ryan Roach. It's great to have, you know, a guest in-house. How are you doing tonight, Ryan? What's going on?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing all right, my friend. Doing all right.
How's everything going with you? You just said there was a boxing card last week.
Mosley's, you know, on the Charles, I believe, is the venue. That's what it's called?
Yep.
Right in Dedham.
Yeah. How did that go?
Went well. The house was packed. Some great, you know, great night of fights. I think it went a little too long, but, you know, all the fights went the distance. You can't complain about that. So
absolutely,
most of them went the foot.
Minus that guy Frank the Tanks, but quick shout out to Frank, 10-0.
Yeah, he said his first 8-round fight and ended in 1:40.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick work.
I know. I feel like
a little anticlimactic, to be honest.
Events like that too, I feel like a lot more like going the distance is like rarer. Like all of them.
Yeah.
Like usually some stuff like that happens where it's like one or two and done.
Yeah, that's a good. That's honestly on the matchmaker. Great job by the matchmaker. They do the matches, and just so happened that most of them went the distance. A couple ended early, but that's good for them.
And your big thing is you started Fighter Locker, which is your management company for these. How many boxers do you currently manage right
currently
now?
Currently, I've just picked up a couple yesterday, so 24 now.
Nice. Oof.
Let's go. Let's go. That's fresh off the press.
How long has it been? Have you been in business with this?
2018. So.
Oh wow! Crazy. So only. Like,
that's a good little stable
years.
Right there.
And you know, we got like a Quincy South Shore fan base. Any guys around there that are on your roster?
I the most local guy I got is Troy Anderson. He's Dorchester. South Shore wise, but you know, I'm always up to adding more, but
of course.
There you go.
What's the method mostly of like is it like through word of mouth, or do you just like put it out there online, different things like that, and these guys find you?
Yeah, mostly it's been, you know, word of mouth. I think part of it's, you know, I'm good to my guys. Come from a fight family, so I know what it takes, how the game works, the relationships you have to build, and I think that's the key to my success, being able to add a lot of people, and some of them world-class athletes. So I think that's, you know, it's humbling. They reach out to me. Unfortunately, right now, I can't take on too many more. Just they have to be really special. So.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, do you have, like, a shutoff number where you're like, this is too many?
I think I'm at it. I might have been at it.
24 is kind
of... damn well getting there.
That's a lot of fighters.
It keeps me busy. Keeps a lot of sleepless nights. So.
So is that, like, just going from around the area to, like, different, like, gyms and just, like, checking in on people, phone calls, the whole 9 yards?
Mostly during COVID, it's been all phone calls checking in on them. I'm good at WhatsApp now. You know, all the overseas guys.
Yeah, I saw you have Olympians, like a legit Olympian boxer.
Yeah, he's actually in town right now, a 2-time Olympian.
What's his name?
Lionel de los Santos.
Okay. Wow.
Dominican.
Okay.
That's a great boxing name.
His nickname is the El Tsunami.
So. Oh.
You know he's trouble with that noise.
That makes Magic sound so stupid and frankly bad.
I did a little bit of my homework, but you know, for those who don't know, those who are listening, how do you get into the sport of boxing? I know you have this tremendous background through family of boxing, but just tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing my charity Punch for Parkinson's, and I was with Maki DeLuca. We're doing a video shoot up in at Ferracano's gym up in I forget where it's Stoneham, and we were there, and there was a couple local boxers, and you know, one kid, Cary Todd, reached, you know, kind of, he was like, hey, take my number. I was like, yeah. He's like, hit me up later. Hey, we should do something together. So we kind of hit it off right away. And I managed him for a couple of years. And then, you know, like anything else, sometimes and it doesn't work out. But, you know, I had plenty of other boxes. So, you know, I was sad to lose him. But hasn't really been fighting lately. But I still track him and still... you know, still friendly with them. So
yeah,
he kind of got my mind spinning about the boxing management side of it. You know, I really had I always wanted to get into it, but it's a hard industry to break through, break into. But I probably could have gotten into it easy if I wanted to.
Because it's not like, you know, managing football players or guys in hockey where, you know, the money is made in just getting the guy in a league itself. Yeah. You know, you can be a pro boxer and not make squab having to be working a full-time job. So I'm sure that can be tough.
Yeah.
On the other side, I know I'm asking you the question about, you know, how you got into it, but your family has a legacy there. I did my research with your Uncle Freddie. Just how did you – any stories or, like, a perspective from there? Because I know either he – just let me understand this more. So did he manage or help, you know, Pacquiao? I know GSP was on his card.
Yes, I mean, he's – probably the most successful boxing trainer there is in the world. He's a Hall of Famer. So, at the end of the day, I have big shoes to fill, a big name to fill. So, it's humbling. Yeah. But he didn't, you know, Pacquiao came over to him. They hit it off right away, and then they had a great run, you know. But mostly he just trains fighters. He got into the management side of it a little bit, but, you know, he did get out pretty quick because it's tough. You can't manage and train. Some guys try to do it, but, you know, the trainers have to train and the managers have to manage. So.
No, that's like an endless friggin', like, yeah, that's yeah. Christ.
Too much time.
Yeah, just not able to do that. Absolutely.
Managers like having, like, 25 kids. You know? Yeah. You got to deal with all their personalities, all their, you know, they're always hitting you up, hey, you know, can I borrow $50? Yeah, they, you know.
Oh, boy. And then you got, like, this fight week and then this one's fight week, and it's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
That must be very, very tiring. Or like the text messages must be all day long.
Yeah, yeah, all day long.
I understand the position you're in, and you know, wanting to do your own thing, being your own person. But is there, you know, from that tale back then with the rest of your family, is there anything you know you learned from back then that you kind of integrate into your own managing or you know outlook in the boxing game?
So I've seen how Freddie interacts with this fighters. Yeah. He's very family oriented. He treats them father son. And I do the same thing. I mean, I'm a family-oriented guy. I try to treat them like family, treat them right, and do the right thing. You know, at the end of the day, I make decisions for them based on what I believe is best for their career, and that's all I can do. And, you know, I think he does the same thing. So I model myself after, you know, same stuff he does. But my father was actually a pro boxer, too. He fought 112 pounds. He had 15 pro fights. So I learned a lot from him. Growing up too, so
were you upset that he told? I read that he said you couldn't box like did
that. Yeah, it was tough. I always was around the gyms and stuff like that, and you know I wanted to carry it on, but you know I ended up getting in the sport later on, so I'm happy. But he was doing the right thing, and I look at my son now the same way, and he's obsessed with boxing, obsessed with O'Toole. You know he loves O'Toole. So
tell us about the O'Toole this Saturday. Like everyone was talking about O'Toole. I thought they were there for Frank the Tank. Maybe that was just bias, probably by me. But like everyone I asked was like this O'Toole guy from Ireland. That's why we're here.
Yeah, he splashed onto the scene. I mean, second pro fight, got him up in Manchester, and you know I got him on the card. It was you know my job to deliver the opportunities. I did it and. He seized the moment. He ended up with, you know, I think he had top 50 in the knockout of the year award. So
yeah.
Let's go.
I think I saw him post or someone post. What's that like Taylor versus Serrano fight? That's supposed to be like
it's
a
April
pretty
30th.
And,
we're working
and he
on.
Might be getting on that?
We're trying right now. Every Irish fighter in the world wants to get on
that. Where's that venue?
Madison Square.
Oh, MSG,
yeah, because that's like the biggest like woman's boxing match like virtually ever, like without a doubt. Yeah.
Troy Anderson, one of my fighters, spars Katie Taylor a lot, and I've watched them a few times, and she can she can bang.
It's there, yeah.
So like an event like that, that's where it's key for him to have like a good manager. Like you have to. That's where you have to go to battle, and he just has to sit on his ass and do the training.
That's it. That's
and not sit on his ass.
Yeah, sure. We'll see you then. You're on the card, buddy. Let's go. Yeah,
that's crazy.
The relationship to get them on the card is the hardest part. You know, but there's rumors out there. Serrano, they're Puerto Rican. They don't want a lot of Irish people at the venue because they take over. So.
I can see that. I can see where they go
you
with
love
that.
The ole, ole, ole.
Oh, yeah, no.
The whole McGregor stance.
Yeah,
of, you know.
If one group's going to give you a home crowd advantage, I mean, they're definitely up there.
That's what Boo Boo Andre, the last card, he bought all the floor seats. Yeah. Because he didn't want any Irish fans on the floor.
What a move.
Smart.
Yeah.
You got that money.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Fuck it. Yeah.
Now, you said the relationship to get, you know, your fighters on a card. What does it take to gain a relationship to get a fighter on your roster? So like what, like, you know, I'm not going to try to get your, you know, secret sauce of how to get it, but you know, what's your bread and butter of, you know, you see a guy, maybe there's a full set of a card of 10 fights or whatever. And there's, you know, this fighter who has a big knockout who, you know, no one's really talking about and you're like very fascinated about. What's your kind of getting into that?
I mean, I tried to, you know, I took me 3 years to land this Olympian, over 2 years. And it's just, you know, building the trust and building a relationship with them. But, you know, obviously you got to look for talent, right? Talent's key. But a lot of these guys have a ton of talent that God gave them. And they just don't use it or they don't work hard. So I look for, you know, talent, but also work ethic, commitment, discipline. And, you know, character's huge with me. A lot of guys in the sport, you know, some of them have character issues. And, you know, I've signed guys before. And, like, you know, a month later, I'm like, what did I do to myself?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I want to delete this number. It's so fucking bad.
You cut them loose.
Have you ever ran into a Jake Paul type character kind of guy? Would you manage him?
I'd manage him for the money.
Yeah. Smart man. That would sign that contract immediately.
Magic Mike management. I think you would too.
Oh, I would, yeah.
No, but we.
I'd be great with the problem.
We talked to Rob Fawn a couple months ago, and he's got a big camp with the New England Cartel, and it seems like him with, you know, Calvin Kattar and Tyson Chatelier, their manager, it seems like they have a really family-grown base, which kind of, you know, speaks to what you're talking about and with your fighters. So, you know, it's really cool to see. So we're Quincy guys. I know he's kind of Quincy Weymouth. So what was your kind of first interaction? You said you've known him since he was – no, that was Kielczewski, but Mark DeLuca. Because Mark DeLuca's had a very fascinating boxing career when, you know, he's fought on ESPN, even Kielczewski himself too. Just tell me, you know, if you have a story or just, you know, coming into contact with Mark DeLuca.
I mean, Mark's a great guy. I met him, you know, 4 years ago probably. I knew who he was. We knew each other. But, you know, we really started interacting a few years ago at a charity event that I had. And he's been great to me ever since. I traveled with them over to England. But, you know, one thing I can say about him is his boxing IQ. He's probably the smartest fighter in the world. You know, I would say just the way he studies the game, you know, and he's going to make a better trainer than anything after his career is over. So he's, you know, he's a great kid. He's got great character, was a Marine. So, you know, but hats off to Mark. He's had a great career, and I don't think he's done yet, but after he's done, I think, you know, he'll be one of the best trainers in the world.
Nice. Yeah, I think he's trained
the next generation.
He's got to go against your dad. For that title.
My uncle, yeah.
He's training Frank a little bit. That's what I've seen, too. So tell us a little bit more about your punch for Parkinson's. So it happens, like, is it once a year?
So we do charity fight nights once a year. We're actually trying to break into a few other markets. Nice. We're hoping to get into Miami. And I've been talking to a couple boxes down in Texas, hopefully maybe Miami and Houston. There's some big oil money down there.
Two quality places.
So
good reason to get away from the winter.
I've actually had a couple an NHL player reached out to me not too long ago, and he was saying, you know, that he'd, you know, let me train him. I'd be interested in training him, let a film crew follow him around and get two NHL players in there to fight for us for charity.
So it's not official, so you can't tip it yet.
Yeah, I can't. I'll tease it, but I'm hoping it.
You're talking active guys, right? Active NHL players?
He just got out not too long ago, so he's still young. He just didn't have a full career.
Do your research, folks.
He's a tough guy, though. He'll be great. You know, if we can lure someone also, someone that he had a couple fights with a couple of Bruins players. So.
Oh, wow.
Maybe we can get them in the ring.
So
Get like some Bruins Canadians action going.
Is Punch for Parkinson's it's a boxing event though?
Or We raise money. Our biggest fundraiser is the boxing night. We anyone can fight, you know, anyone. I fought in a couple of years ago. We have people raise money and fight each other, and they're all pretty good matchups, safe matchups, but we have them sparred before. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're action-packed. They're only a minute and a half rounds, but you guys know that a lot can happen in a minute and a half. It's a long
street. Oh, yeah. Rough and Rowdy's a minute, and no chaos happening there.
Yeah. Champion over there.
How did your fight go? Is it worth mentioning?
Champ is here.
No, yeah, I mean, mine was pretty good because I got caught in the first 30 seconds. I didn't go down, but it was a younger kid. My opponent fell out, 2 weeks out, and then this kid jumped in, or 3 weeks out, this kid jumped in. He was way, way heavier than me, but, you know, I wasn't.
Oh, good for you for sticking out.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. But he was 10 years younger. I was 37 at the time. He was 27. No excuses. But, you know, he caught me with a wild shot. I dropped my hand, made a mistake, and I didn't go down, but it woke me up. You know?
Ready to go now.
I don't have the knowledge, but is there was there a reason why you did it for Parkinson's? Is there reasoning?
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, it runs in my family. My uncle has it. But, you know, I took the program and we do, you know, non-contact boxing with Parkinson's, people with Parkinson's. We call them Parkinson's fighters. And we give them boxing lessons a couple times a week. We pay for it. at various gyms throughout New England. So it helps the gyms out. They have membership. They don't have to worry about them paying. And then most of these people with Parkinson's are retired, and they can't really afford it, so it's, you know, good for them that we pay.
That's awesome.
But we have a couple of people that, you know, the females will text me, you know, hey, Ryan, I can do my eye makeup. I'm not shaking tonight just from boxing a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, it helps
them.
That's
awesome.
It reduces their, you know, tremors and stuff like that. You know, they've dropped like 20 points in a year on the neurological scale.
Oh, so wow.
Wow. Yeah. That's incredible.
I watched the show. I watched the show Ray Donovan.
Yep.
And they have the guy on there. If you've seen that before.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it's a tough, it's really tough disease, and it's a hell of a thing you guys are doing there to raise money for it. So I couldn't. It's really appreciative. And,
absolutely, that's an amazing. Like that's a unique thing to like give them the opportunity to do that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there was never really a program out there to fund them. Mm-hmm. So it's and boxing's expensive. So
yes, yeah, absolutely.
And we were able to link up with Rival Boxing Gear. I'll give them a shout out. They provide gloves for us and stuff like that. Nice. So relationships through boxing have helped with the charity.
When is the event? Has the event happened this year? When
we just did. We did it, but October 22nd next year. So sign ups are up. If
already,
if you
want.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Get we back started. We yeah. started.
He's 1-0. He beat his brother.
I'm 1-0. If I lose in this, it's charity though.
We don't judge.
Judgment free zone.
And what about the gala thing you have coming up? Is that related to fundraising for Punch for Parkinson's?
Yeah, so this is, you know, first shot, April 1st. We're trying it. We got Lenny Clark coming.
Nice. Shout out Lenny. Yeah. We're good friends with his nephews.
Nephew Matt.
Now,
yeah.
So and then we got
hysterical guy.
Billy Costa emceeing it and nice. Also John Michael Williams. He has
awesome.
He's a pianist and he has Parkinson's. So.
Oh,
very nice.
Yeah.
And that's at Lombardo's.
At Lombardo's in Randolph, yeah.
Beautiful place.
That's
beautiful
a place.
That's
a great
yeah,
place.
No,
I haven't been there since prom. Well, why else would you be there? I don't know.
Yeah, hey, time to bounce back.
Yeah.
A little step away from the charity. So you kind of talked about, you know, how you're getting guys on your roster, your boxing experience. You know, what are your future plans, you know, in the sport of boxing? How do you plan on reaching them? Like, is it day by day? Is it, okay, I got to get this guy to the big, you know, his highest peak that I think he can get to? Or is it about signing guys who are more, you know, extensive, already have the resume type of boxers?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Sometimes those veterans that I sign might be help some of the younger boxers. Someone might want them on the card. Top Rank might call me and say, hey, we want this, you know, your guy that's 16-2. And I can use that as a bargaining chip and say, well, I'll give you him if you give me another slot or something on. So it's all about building the right roster, the right stable. And but my, you know, obviously my goal is to have world champions, and you know, I just actually accepted a 10-round WBA title fight for one of my fighters today.
That's
so
we'll awesome.
See. Oh, let's go!
It's in Bellevue, Washington. We'll see if the other side accepts. But you know, big start.
That's really
to,
cool.
That's yeah. That's what I was about to ask. Was like, obviously we want titles for all of them, but I was like, yeah. Is there one that is like going to have the immediate title shot?
Well, that
like,
one's not official, so you shouldn't. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Can't reveal it yet, but I believe in all my guys. But, mm-hmm. You know, boxing is all about opportunity. When that door knocks, you have to be able to answer. Like, you know, Maki, he got the shot for, you know, Brooke, and he answered the call, and it wasn't his night. You know, that happens.
But he went all the way to England, right? Tried making something happen.
Yeah, and he gained some experience and some, you know, I think he gained a lot of fans. So that's all, you know, that's all part of the sport. You gotta put your, it's a hard sport to make it in. You gotta put your time in, and your opportunity will come.
Yeah, before that was the perfect Bill Belichick answer. Like, you were just, like, fully in there. Like, I'm not going to say anyone in particular, but all the fighters are great. And just great stuff.
But we were talking pre-show about, like, Ryan Kozeski, a fan favorite of here, and he was talking about, like, the ugly side of boxing, like, at least for the fighters. Is it kind of like that on the manager promoting side?
Yeah,
I got to assume, because that's kind of what he was calling out in a way.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot in the last you know, few months. There's a lot of snakes in the sport, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You trust who you trust, and you try to give everyone an opportunity, and you know, but unfortunately sometimes they burn you, and you know, you can just learn from that and move on. And you know, once someone burns me once or doesn't do what they say, then, you know, I'm pretty much done with them. So
Yeah, that's like, see ya.
Not answering that call again.
There's a lot, you know what? Boxing, anyone in the world, anyone could get into it. That's the problem. And you can, anyone can walk into a boxing gym. Like, you could walk into the most popular boxing gym in the world right now. But, you know, so it access, there's access there for everyone. So everyone's going to go and try to find those people and find the fighters. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes they latch on and represent people and, you know, hang around people. But it's
just gotta be a man of integrity on your side. Yeah. I know you're doing it the
honorable man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing too.
Let the snakes be snakes, and they'll get their names get called out eventually.
Yeah. Most of the boxers I know have like never swung like a baseball bat in their lives. Like, those are the type of, maybe at someone, but like not at a baseball.
It's an addicting sport. Yeah. Fighting is addictive if you're like someone who likes fighting.
I'm just proving to his point that anyone can walk in the gym. Doesn't, you don't have to be this like ground pound athlete. You can just be a savage or someone who's willing to, you know, I've been beat up my first like 7-8 years of my life. I want to beat someone up now. Yeah. And I feel like that's the true testament to the boxing world.
Absolutely. Like, almost any top rank or something you watch, like, they'll give you the lowdown of some guy coming out to the ring with like the craziest backstory you've ever heard or something.
Yeah. Most of them come from, you know, different backgrounds and troubled past, usually, you know, or come from a tough area. So
where's your gym? Do you own a gym yourself?
I don't own a gym. No. I just, you know, we work with a lot of the local gyms. I work with all the trainers around there, but.
Okay.
Manager, you got to be buzzing everywhere. Speaking of buzzing everywhere, my last question I was going to ask is, you've probably been to some cool venues for some cool fights, not just, you know, in the Boston area, but, you know, give me a couple. Have you been out to Vegas? Have you been overseas? What's been kind of, you've been sitting back watching one of your boxers fight, or even just in general of being like, wow, I'm actually here right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, growing up in the fight family, you know, I've been to, you know, I went to every single one of Pacquiao's fights.
Oh, wow.
For probably, you know, while he was reigning, like 7 years in a row. But
you see him in Mayweather?
I seen him in Mayweather. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Got to go to that. Got to watch, you know, see him train for that, you know, behind the scenes. And then, but the coolest venue I've ever been to was probably Pacquiao Margarito. And that was at AT&T Stadium. It was like pretty much new at the time.
So, Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was Tennessee for some reason.
Yeah,
that's Nissan, man. That's the Nashville.
Would you say Floyd's the best fighter?
I think
over like Muhammad Ali, or maybe because you haven't seen him. Areas. He's kind of like saying Babe Ruth's the best.
Yeah,
that's conversation. I feel.
But I mean, Floyd was obviously great defensive wise. You know, you couldn't hit him, but I think he waited. I think Pacquiao. You know, everyone was like, hey. He didn't have a blown rotator cuff, but he did. I think if he was healthy, he could have beat him, though.
Who would you say is the most like must watch TV boxers right now?
Right now, man,
Fury.
Fury probably. Yeah. Fury,
absolutely, absolutely.
And I can't take anything away from Kambosos. You know, he beat Teofimo, and I seen him spar Manny Pacquiao a couple times. And I was like, I even said it before that fight. I said, this kid, he could give him trouble. And one of my guys, Adrian Sosa from Lawrence, was in camp with Kambosos, getting him ready for Teofimo. So, you know, I kind of knew that kid could be a problem. He's got speed. He's got power. He's a great boxer. So
yeah, on his way. I mean, I think they're trying to set up him and Lomachenko in like June or something like that. Yeah. So
I think he beat Haney. I think Lomachenko might probably beat Kambosos.
That's the next name I was going to bring up. Lomachenko's a bad man.
Yeah, that's not the worst loss you're going to have on your on your record.
And he's going to make $10 million, so.
Yeah, perfect.
But also touching on that, you know, getting to see these guys, did you ever see GSP in action? Like, did you?
I never caught him in the gym. I caught him. He was actually in the same club as me when I was at my bachelor party.
Oh, wow. That's
hell yeah.
Cool.
In Montreal.
Cause speaking of psychos who have, you know, crazy stories growing up, that's the type of guy that he was picked on his whole life, ends up turning it into, you know, being, you know, debatingly one of the best UFC fighters ever do it. So that's really.
Are you a UFC guy as well? Or
Pretty close friends with Rob Font. You know, I know I bounce a lot of questions off Tyson Chatier all the time. Really? We always. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll ask his opinion because obviously he's been, you know, the best manager in the UFC game for a while. But
those two are really buzzing despite, I mean, Even the, I mean, the loss against Max Holloway, Calvin gave everything he had. Yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. Rob, they both ran at the two like Hall of Famers. I mean, yeah, like Jose just, Aldo. Yeah. I didn't think Jose Aldo had anything left in him. He yeah. after that first 40,
unfortunately, he did.
Still there, still seconds. There, 100%. Yeah, that was tough.
Oh yeah, that's
when cool we, dudes though.
When we interviewed Rob, yeah, couldn't come off as a more nicer. Yeah, you know, awesome. It seemed like we were trying to egg him on, being like, "Oh, you're gonna fight Dillashaw next," and he's just like, "I'm just gonna fight who they tell me to."
Yeah, the next guy, the next guy in line.
Yeah, no, he's a great kid, and I talked to him after that fight, and I was like, "Hey, man, there's nothing you can do. You know, you showed you belong at that level."
Oh, absolutely,
absolutely, yeah.
It's not like he got blown out of the water. You know,
and some he almost guys, won in the first 4.5.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so
when's the next big fight night? Is Dedham like the spot now where they're doing fight nights like monthly or something? Or?
I think, I mean, not monthly.
Where are your guys going to be fighting next?
So I talked to them today. They're going May 14th, but you know, it's tough right now because no one wants to go in the city, you know. But
yeah.
The vaccine issue?
Yeah.
Let's get the Quincy Armory or the Marina Bay Sports
Club. Yeah, where can we get the... Fuck, we need to buy a vet. Maybe we'll buy a warehouse or something. I don't know.
Someone said the Marina Bay, did that place close?
Marina Bay Sportsplex? I think that's
like
still there.
It's open, but no one uses it.
Yeah, I think it's still there.
Sounds like the perfect spot.
Yeah.
We'll just throw some chandeliers in there. That's all that's
missing. We'll get a Winnebago outside for the finest locker rooms. Yeah,
no, the Mosley's place was nice. It was a sweet spot. Much better than that shit that we went to in New Hampshire to watch Frank
the Tank. What was that? Was that Derry? It looked like some high school gym.
Garbage.
That was brutal.
Sportsplex.
Sportsplex. There we go.
I like when you get the chandeliers involved. It makes it feel. I have my suit on and everything.
I went to, it was like 2-3 years ago before the pandemic. I think it was Ken Casey's, it was at the casino.
Encore, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a Vendetti was the main guy. Yeah. He's a good fighter, too. Yeah,
that just reminded me, before we got on, too, we were talking rough and rowdy. So do you do a similar rough and rowdy-esque type thing?
Same type of thing. We do it, sanctioned through the state. They
is that punch for part? That's
the punch for part. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. We do it for charity. They raise money for charity.
I didn't know if you did another thing, too. I was like, he must be. Those literally zero enough. Time.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Come on, man.
Andy's a firefighter. Shout out to that.
Now, I haven't put anything on the spot at all, but if our friend, who's the world champion of the rough and rowdy, you know, just said he wants to leave rough and rowdy and try to get into amateur professional boxing now, who could he call to manage?
Lights on Lang. Oh,
yeah, Lights on Lang.
He's my guy. He's my guy. We signed in. We signed in. Magic Mike Management. Keep an eye out for me. Hey, I've always wanted to be a manager.
He just fought Pac-Man Jones. That's unbelievable.
That's why
he's making some sweet money. Shout out Lights on Lang and Frank the Tank and all the fighters out there doing their thing, killing it.
It's a hell of a sport, man. I just, you know, it's
you had like 8 fighters this Saturday, though, right?
Yeah. It's been
That's a busy night for
it. It's called a yard sale.
And they all won minus one guy?
Minus my girl.
Minus your girl.
I brought her up from Houston and a tough decision.
I think that's when I got there during that girl fight. Yeah. That was a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, she actually trains in the same gym as Shakur Stevenson and those guys. In
Houston. Wow. So, yeah. Oh, he's coming up for a fight.
Is that how you got connected? Because she's from Houston?
Or? Yeah, she's from Houston. Her trainer called me, and you know, I didn't really have any girls on the roster, so I was trying to diversify myself.
You're definitely diversified.
Yeah.
Got the whole globe and genders both.
Either way, you know, I feel like with that type of, you know, going 7-1, it might be 7-1 the next time, but she's not going to be on the losing side.
We actually asked for a rematch. The girl wouldn't fight her again.
So that's a win. So that went 1-1 that night.
Gorilla
happens.
You lost, but the girl didn't want to fight you again. That's a win-loss.
I want to see which one of us from the podcast is going to fight in this Punch for Parkinson's thing, because someone's going to.
I think it's you.
I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty to get back in
the Only ring. One of us is a boxer here, so it's probably going to be you.
I'm not a fucking boxer.
You got a racket.
I trained for 1 month.
I don't have a racket.
Fought my little brother.
Were you guys drinking before you guys went in the ring, too?
Just a couple. But is that normal?
Yeah.
Probably. I bet some guys take a shot or two.
That's also another thing. So
that's all I did.
For
nothing
the rough
crazy.
And rowdy, they waited like all day to like... It's not like that for like a boxing like card.
Probably much more professional.
Yeah.
Did you guys weigh in?
Yeah, but I mean, that was very half-assed. And I literally did drop 20 pounds before thinking like I had to. I don't think I had
to. That was
yeah,
the funniest thing.
He stepped on a scale. No one looked at him.
Yeah, they were like, get off.
Yeah, they warned him about, you know, having to be the
I was dying for a meal. I was drinking water that whole day, spitting out, doing like what they do for fights.
And then I ended up but that's not what mattering made me at all. More. That was the funniest part of the whole thing. And then we went to some, I think, Italian or something restaurant. You ate your ass off.
But that's what is addicting about fighting. You've been doing it for that 1 month, even if it was like a joke thing, kind of. It was like, this is kind of addicting. It's the best workout. You meet cool people. Sparring's fun.
By far, best workout.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Dave, I miss it. David Andrews and the it's stands.
Like we're going to get him on the next guy.
Who? Me?
Get you a matchup.
Fuck it.
We'll get on.
Let's go.
I'm back. Magic Mike.
We'll get on time fighting you. That's where it happens.
No, I'll at least fight and punch for Parkinson's. I'll get my info in there. We'll start there.
There you go.
We'll start there.
Well, Ryan, unless these guys have anything, I really appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thanks, guys, best of luck
with everything, and your story is really cool. It's cool to like
absolutely, man. It's awesome.
Get it out to people and let them know that, you know, boxing is, you know, coming. It's here.
Bringing it back. I signed Hagler's grandkid yesterday.
Oh, let's go.
He's not stopping. He's got events. He's signing everyone.
Where's he from?
He's from Atlanta, but he was born up here. But you know, we want to fight Ali's grandson. So.
Wow.
Wait,
I'll be there for that.
Fly there to these guys, or they fly here to Boston, or is it all over the internet?
He flew up to Boston last. He came for the fight, so. We met there. Because
you had like a guy from Kansas City, too, that you signed.
Those two brothers are good. I knew they were in
It's just crazy.
Prospects and so on.
So his grandson or nephew?
It's his grandson.
Grandson.
James Hagler Jr.
Hagler Ali. Let's go.
That's awesome. I think you get a lot of people pay $50. I think I would pay $50 a lot. So.
I'm there.
Frank the Tank keeps calling out Ali's grandson, but I think we might have a better shot with that.
If Frank the Tank was signed to Fighter Locker, who would you have him fight next? That's probably asking like too much for you to give him that.
That's very broad.
I'd have to look at some opponents, but you know, I try to pick my opponents for my guys. Like two of my guys, I knew they would go the distance, and that route, like O'Toole. His third pro fight, I know I'm going to have to, you know, he's going to move fast. He's already top 100 in the world in three fights. So
that's
all like picking the right opponents. And, you know, I think that's the key is, you know, trying to get these guys built the right way. They have to get that round experience. So if I was managing Hogan, I would definitely spend some money and get an opponent that will go 6 to 8 rounds with him. Wow. And I think they tried that last time that, you know, Maki DeLuca actually gave them that opponent, and they thought he was going to go some rounds, but he caught him, you know.
We got to help him with his viral campaign and, like, get these guys, I don't know, maybe go the Jake Paul route. I don't know. I want to help.
They're not going to fight a real boxer.
No, you're right.
They're making too much money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Frank.
Just keep the show going on,
That's what you should do. Also, we wanted to say, do you want to plug your social medias and everything? How did you get such a big following, too? Like,
actually, at first, my uncle was giving me some shout-outs with the charity and stuff like that, so I got some...
You got some big names showing it up.
Awesome.
That's awesome. It's a great cause.
It's Ryan Roach on Instagram, I believe.
I just changed it to @RyanRoachOfficial.
There we go.
Ryan Roach Official, punch for Parkinson's. Brittany, what else? Brittany is his manager's here. And how can they buy tickets for the gala? How can we buy tickets for the gala? Are we going to go, boys?
100%.
We got to go.
We'll set up the podcast there.
Could we? Love it. We got our first live show coming.
We're going to live show 2 weeks from now. Good time.
Hey, you can go on, you know, Instagram. It's in our bio.
Link in bio.
Or like go on Eventbrite. There's tickets on
there. What's the date?
April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
It's actually kicking off.
Lenny's going to go off. Right. Lenny's going to go off.
Should we do that? We'll have Magic text you and be like, oh, we're actually not coming. And then we're all just going to show up and be like, April Fool's, right?
No.
Got to give us
your That's a terrible. That wasn't a great joke.
We'll give you those. And then.
we'll make sure to share this gala event for April 1st.
Appreciate it.
And I'd make sure to go out. Lenny, Billy Costa.
Lenny,
all the fighters gonna be there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we got some fighters. If Mickey Ward's in town, he said he'd come. So
nice,
love it.
What more do you need, guys?
Love it.
Make sure you're there.
Nikovich said he'd come.
Nice,
let's go. Town,
so. Good stuff. Seeing him.
Hedge Better will be in the house.
Yeah, we'll be in the house.
Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, buddy.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
That was boxing manager Ryan Roach, coming from a legendary background of the Roach family. You know, it really speaks to a lot about his uncle, you know, being a manager and whatever for GSP and Manny Pacquiao. Just really cool road where he came from. And, you know, it's inspiring to see someone like that who, yeah, got the opportunity because of the family, but now he's trying to, you know, do his own thing and make the most out of something.
Right, I agree with that. Just making his own waves and fucking kind of just making his own path for himself.
Yeah, trying to evolve and stuff like that. It's awesome to see. And just like boxing in general in the Boston area, great scene these days. Great
scene.
We
always say whenever a boxer or MMA fighter comes on, it's always the best interviews.
Right. Not even close.
Because the Hawk.
Maybe minus Frank the Tank was good.
I don't know. What do you think about Chris Moutinho, Rob Font, Cavalcantes?
I'm saying not even close. The fighters are the best. Anyone fighting related.
Don't get me wrong. I don't know,
Johnny.
I love me some mainstream Johnny's sports, good. But there's nothing like these backyard kids who, you know, had no chance at, you know, anything else. Even ask a boxer, or I even asked Frank the Tank Hogan, you know, like, did you play baseball, hockey growing up? He's like, no, I just boxed.
Jim.
I was like, what?
That's why you got to come to the live show. We got two of the best in the area, fucking right in our roof, right in your wheelhouse. That's ask him anything.
Have a bear.
Not even in the area. Give Frank the Tech an opportunity. He's going to make it happen. And you see what happened when Bobby Lights Out Lang gets in the middle of a ring with a former NFL All-Star.
No,
what's Frank at now? He put it like
10-0.
No, I know that, but
double
like
digits,
I think he was like 200 best in the world, in the whole world.
Oh, yeah, me. I'm not counting rankings. Let him fight someone real, and I can't wait to see it because he's going to knock the daylights out of him.
Yeah, can't wait till that's at one.
Yeah,
you're right.
One.
It's coming to one.
Okay,
it's
about 200.
I think we need to promote Frank the Tank to get him into a bigger fight. Like we need to collectively pick someone and just bully that person.
Luckily, we have a live show in 2 weeks.
We got to get him here to do some content, though. I think he'd thrive in here some more if
we
got the opportunity.
He's got a great mullet.
We're moving on, though, as you know, the Super Bowl was last Sunday. We're going to recap it as the LA Rams won their second Super Bowl ever over the Cincinnati Bengals in a instant classic, 23-20. Matthew Stafford gets his first along with the Detroit faithful as Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals bowed down. Still, I'll give you the first shot here. What you think?
First off, disgusting. The Bengals were so close. Oh. It was right there. It was there for the taking. There were so many plays. I mean, even like a lot of people hated like when they went for fourth down in the first quarter. Like, I loved it. Let it ride.
Yeah, 100%.
You're the underdog. You're the underdog.
Go for the throat. Yeah, let's see what happens with the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl.
Even the first touchdown, it was a halfback pass to the fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You know I mean? Threw everything out there.
That's the stuff that wins, especially with the Pats versus Philly. Like, that's kind of what made the difference. The Philly play, like the rollout, like fake plays. Like, in those big time game situations, you need to pull a tricks that no one's ever seen.
I'll shoot my favorite play of the night was the first one of the second half. He just throws a deep ball to T. Higgins. T. Higgins knowingly just face masks Jalen Ramsey, who's the worst, by the way. We talked about that last week. Throws him down, catches, and basically walks in 30 yards later for a touchdown for Cincy to take the lead. And then when it came back, which was the difference of the game for me, was the LA Rams got the ball back right away. And I actually said it. We were in the same room. I was just like, watch this. Here comes Matt Stafford of all. He's going to throw a pick. And what do you know? Pick. He throws the pick. And then that was what defined the game there. If Joe Burrow went down, got another touchdown, they get up by, I think, at least double digits. I think the game's over from there, but, you know, they cut him to a field goal, credit to the Rams defense, and then they eventually got the Burrow and, you know, Aaron Donald having I wouldn't say game of his life because he's had tremendous games, but he was the ultimate difference in that.
He's probably got like a forced sacker or something like that, but like they weren't the Super Bowl. Like, exactly. I mean, absolute kill shot at the end, the final drive. Mm-hmm. Just incredible play. Yeah,
still covered the spread, which is
naturally.
Good.
Naturally.
Plus 4.5.
Bengals, so I won that too. So I went undefeated this whole postseason. No, yeah,
Anton and Magic lost. Not a surprise.
Was close. I was like, when Joe Burrow got hurt, like the knee, I was ready to just like
go outside. People are crying.
Yeah, I was about to stop, like, watching. I was about to be like, this is all right, dude.
Like, and then I'm thinking, too, like, oh, he's hurt. Like, this is the destiny. Yeah. This is what we were waiting for.
Let him play, boy.
I have to bring up the elephant in the room of myself. And I Saturday night, even, like, Wednesday night, I had, like, a dream that this game was going to end up 23-20. So I put, what was it, $100 on the 23-20 score for the Bengals to win. It was 100 to win 10 G's. So what happened? The opposite happened. The Rams win 23-20, and I lose my $100, got it back with the spread. But ultimately, Monday's scaries of a lifetime. I haven't really had a lot of sleep since then. I was so close to winning that much money, and you know, I couldn't be more upset with myself.
That was like
10 grand. Oh,
wow. That was like 200 words to say you're a fucking loser. That was like all that was.
Valentine was this close so many times. I was that close.
I'm sorry, but that's too close. That's too fucking.
It's not really too close.
It's the same score.
You're
the same score.
Loser.
That's close.
I could have won a good amount of the fucking squares if the numbers were right.
If they switched a few scores, if they had a few more.
Who did win on
it? Big shout out to SB Hottie. Sean Patrick Hannon won two of them.
I saw that.
Killed it.
Brian Kilcullen and Mike Maranian.
Yeah, not a shout out to Mike Maranian. Fuck him.
No,
shout out Mike Maranian.
Spend that at a nice local rub and tug. I know you will.
So the first quarter was 7-3. That's what Kilcullen won. And then the second, after the half, it was 13-10. So Sean won that one. Then it was 16-20.
2016.
So Marini won that one. Final score 23-20. Yeah. SB Hottie won the fourth quarter. Big deserving.
Nice little day for him.
Sean Patrick Hannon. Yeah.
$50. He won what? Like 1,200?
Like 14, something like that. Good for him.
Not bad at all.
Such a great kid. I couldn't be more happy for someone.
Go rob him.
Don't go rob him. Kid's a beauty.
I'm kidding.
His Providence Friars lost the other day.
Should we get him on a call?
Tough game versus Villanova. My friend was at that game, so I was getting live updates. There was 3-8 in Villanova being 3, Providence being 8, chance to go up to 2, I think. But they ended up blowing it at the end, losing by 4.
Ah, disgusting.
Who just brought that up? Why is that being brought up?
Because
Providence, Sean Patrick.
Sean was at the game.
My big question is about the Super Bowl. When will Joe Burrow get back to his Super Bowl again?
They upgrade the offensive line, and they keep the front 7 of that defense, I think, relatively like shortly.
But like,
but that's hard. That's
surely,
easier said than done.
You got the Chiefs, you got the Bills.
Chiefs
shit,
are dead.
You got the Pats.
Pats are
you got
way
their
dead.
Pats are very alive. Chiefs are dead.
I feel bad that the fucking Bengals didn't win just for that terrible parade. Jesus, L.A. is a shit city now. That parade was disgusting.
If we put up flyers for a parade on Hancock Street, we'd have more people. Like if we did it tomorrow,
I think we might.
That
Cincinnati would have been electric.
If the Quincy Cannons, when they won, let us have a fucking real parade, we would have outshone
100%.
If I got that mobile 100%. Sauna.
You're never going to get that mobile sauna. You've been talking about for 5 years.
It's not my fault.
It's not going to happen.
The guy called me literally 2 weeks ago asking if I want to get in business with him still, but
who's
talking
mobile sauna?
Relatively sounds like
Craig,
it's your fault.
Actually, we'll get him on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll figure that out in due time. But we had Odell, first touchdown. T. Higgins
Nailed
was a prop
it.
Warrior. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was like the third
T.
time
Higgins,
this year.
You knew like a secondary receiver on Cincy had to ball out to have an opportunity at this game. And I think going into the game, I'm like, if a secondary receiver balls out for the Bengals, they're going to win this game. Fortunately, they did it, but T. Higgins had the most yards. Big shout out to John from Quincy as he won that prop bet, as he had 4 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. On the track there, I see this Bengals team, and there's a lot of competition in the AFC. I just, you know, as a guy who's hated on Matt Stafford his whole career, couldn't be more happy for him. Pushed a girl who broke her spine the other day.
That was a tough scene.
He's paying that bill. Breaking news.
He didn't push him. I just kind of want to throw the dirt on
That's horseshit, though. He literally is drinking at his fucking Super Bowl parade, and the girl falls off the stage, and he has to pay the medical bills now because he just turned around and was like, I don't want to deal with it.
He did just like look over there and just be like,
her spine would have still been fucked up even if he did jump down there.
I mean, yeah, it was all over in that respect. It definitely, like,
I'm a huge believer in that. Like, if you're like dog's dead, like, and I'm at work, like, don't call me. Like, wait till I'm home. Like, I can't change the fact that the dog died at us. You know what I mean?
What did you think about him sipping on Don Julio 1942?
What about it?
He was just sipping on it. I don't know.
Why not him? He won the Super Bowl, dude.
That was a little Joey Burrow-esque.
Tom Brady-esque. That's what Tom Brady did last year. That's why he threw a Super Bowl trophy in the middle of Tampa Bay.
You put me
best Tom Brady moment ever.
You put me 13 years in Detroit, dude.
And he's fucking I'm getting fucked up.
Super Bowl halftime show. I loved it.
Wow.
Do you think the prop bet, this is
I think it would have been Dre.
It's yes, though? Snoop Dogg smoking a blunt?
Yes.
A picture was leaked, yeah.
Yeah, the leaked picture. Does that count?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
100%. Okay.
He was on stage.
No, because there is questioning of that. Like,
for sure.
You want to not, I didn't have a chance. My book did not have that prop bet, so I didn't do it. Otherwise, I would have hammered it.
I mean, hitting a blunt is smoking weed.
The best part is
else do you want?
Basically, an animated house in the middle of the 50-yard line at the Super Bowl, and you hid in there to smoke a blunt. Like, that's incredible.
Made the house.
Hear that statement. Hear that statement. That's.
Yeah.
50 Cent stole the show.
Oh, that was intense. I didn't. Because
I heard rumors
he
was
going to
show.
Yeah.
I was like, no chance. Did he show up
all
looking
the memes
big.
That, all the memes that came from that were
a buck 25, dollar, you know. I mean, that's too easy to blame on him. My favorite, honestly, of the night was the whole Kendrick Lamar thing. I think he killed it.
I thought you were going to say Mary J. Blige, but yeah, that was the greatest halftime show of all time.
If you said Mary J. was your favorite, you're a feminist or something.
I love me some Mary.
I didn't know a single song she was singing. No lie.
No, but that whole
or offense.
Cinematography, whatever the hell you call it, with the guys with Kendrick Lamar, like that was wild.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
He always delivers. He was looking like a million bucks.
He's one of the greatest artists of all time.
Snoop and Dre with Still Dre. I like that wrap up.
Eminem, are you fucking shitting me?
That was great.
Speaking of till I collapse, I thought Dr. Dre was gonna collapse at some point on stage.
Yeah, Eminem got shortchanged a little bit, only getting.
Yeah, you gotta spread all the love to everyone who's participating in the event.
No, I was saying that crew's gotta go on tour. That's a must see fucking concert.
He's also the only one that wasn't L.A.
tickets for that.
The rest of them are all L.A.
Well, it made sense because I mean. Well, I guess. Do you think that's what they were looking at? Because Matt Stafford played in Detroit?
They did it because it's Dre.
I think
it's
went
Dre's
Dre
guy.
And Eminem is Dre's guy.
So let me ask you this. So if, just say it's 30-0 blowout at halftime. Do you think they let him go? You think they let him go for a couple more songs? Had to.
Maybe.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah,
I'd say so.
If this Super Bowl sucks, we're letting you guys go an hour. We need people to stick around.
Anyone
and they would have.
Who's an average football fan watching the halftime show is it ended so soon. It's no, that's actually how long it is. You just, no one wanted that.
Yeah, you never really have someone that you actually want to listen to go for an hour.
Yeah, I'm usually watching Lady Gaga fall out of the sky.
And when you're there too, it's also longer. They do a TV edit, so it makes it shorter. When you're in person, that the songs go a little bit longer, and there's stages in between where they're moving shit around.
They move the house onto the field.
Yeah, exactly. There's stuff
it being in LA and everything too. It was a cool moment. Cool
sick
halftime
moment.
Show.
Even
cool,
the floor.
Cool winners.
I was Compton as the neighborhood underneath the stage, the whole entire setting of it. That was sick.
Put your money on Arizona now. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Super Bowl's there next year,
back
I believe.
Back to back. Not with the little midget boy who's complaining about it.
I'm just saying that's two back to back already.
Kyler Murray's taller.
They could do
Adam.
It. I could see the Cardinals do it.
By a mile. By a mile.
Yeah, he's a quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah,
I'm not.
You can call him a midget.
Yeah, dunk on his ass. What are you talking about, boy?
Gotta get him on the pod and discuss.
Yeah, just to go back to back. Need him in person.
Repeat? No way.
Why? Who won last year? Oh, yeah, Tampa. Oh, yeah. Shit,
Tampa and Tampa, LA and LA, Arizona and Arizona. Calling it now.
All right, put your money down. Put your money where your mouth is.
I'll bet it with a bookie.
I'll be in Arizona pretty soon. Good stuff.
Speaking of Arizona, Waste Management, great hockey.
Is that Mike Live, Justin? Can we get a little report on what happened
how'd
for
it go?
You?
So our producer, who's the head of everything, love you, Justin, was at the Waste Management Classic last week with golf. Just a little synopsis on what happened over there.
Honestly, yeah. So I would say it's definitely the event if you're not a golf fan to go to, because it's just overall a great experience. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to pay attention to golf. And if you love golf, it's just got to be a bonus.
The location's sick.
Location's sick. This particular event, it happened to have, I guess, the best golf field in the last 10 years or something like that. Even better than the Masters of last year, something crazy. So it was incredible. The atmosphere was electric. The weather was crazy.
How hot? How warm was it?
It was hot, but it was nice. It wasn't like too. Dry. It wasn't too hot. And I just got to say one thing that was super cool. Everyone keeps asking me, "Did you see the hole in ones?" The
Sam Ryder,
Sam Ryder, and then Ortiz on Sunday. So there were two hole in ones.
Oh, really?
One thing that I thought was really cool. If you're not a golf fan out there, you can probably at least appreciate. Like, the irony of this is that the 16th hole in the Waste Management Open is notorious for being, like, a big party, right? It's, like, the way it's shaped, everything. It's people line up there at 2, 3 in the morning to get in line for the 16th hole. And so it just so happened that there were two hole-in-ones hit in the same tournament by two different people, both on the 16th hole, which is, like, ridiculous.
Let's ride.
It was an absolute party. We watched the video in here before.
Yeah, that scene was sick. Yeah. That looked unreal.
Great time, though. Overall, I think anyone should go.
Shout out to Scrambled.
Yeah,
Scrambled.
I was gonna say,
did the Scrambled boys record out there? Did that end up getting done or went too wasted?
We brought all the equipment out there and nothing actually got recorded. So it was great in theory.
That's how it happens.
Great idea in theory.
It was great in theory in Miami, too. And then we were like, nope, can't show any of this.
That's why we need those mobile setups with those lavalier mics. That's what I've been saying forever. Like, we need a more mobile unit. But
trust me, it was no lack of equipment. I brought everything down.
Did you bring it into
the There were other factors at
Lack
play.
Of sobriety, soberness, probably.
But big, 16th big hole. Shout out
how
to
bad
Scramble.
You want it?
Andy Rogatino, they get it done.
Yeah, always.
Good stuff. Moving on, since, you know, we're pretty football heavy around, you know, football time, we're transitioning more into the basketball, hockey world, MMA, boxing, you know, with Ryan Roach coming on tonight. But the Celtics are on a tear on... Despite their shitty loss last night to the Detroit Pistons, have won 9 of the last 10. I think it's about 16 in the last 19 games. Sitting 34-26 to the number 6 seed. But they've been playing sensational basketball, and I didn't think we'll see how it goes. But Derek White, who came from San Antonio with a trade for Josh Richardson, has been quite not even surprised, but you know. Has fit in right away. You could even tell the first game they played with each other, I think against the Hawks last Sunday, Ime Udoka had the confidence to put him in late game because if you don't know enough basketball, if you don't know the background. So Derek White used to play for Ime Udoka as he was assistant coach for San Antonio like 2-3 years ago in the Olympic qualifiers. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Derek White were all on Team USA. So they all have that chemistry. So I didn't really understand that too much around the
trade deadline.
That was tough. Last week.
Bounce back.
But it's starting to come in fruition with the 50, basically a 48 piece against Philly, who's, you know, I know they don't have James Harden, but, you know, a top-tier team, who a team that's right behind, right in front of you now, only a half game and a half back behind the 5 spot. Still, the Celtics are booming at the right time. Not saying that they're going to, like, win a championship or anything, but it's better than... You know, suckiness we've seen from the last 365 days.
Like, this is exactly, like, this is why we were so hostile towards them and all that stuff, was because this is kind of the team we were, like, this was what was supposed to happen. This was supposed to be a competitive team, great defense. The Jays lead them in points and everything, and they're going to be right up there at the end. Will they win the championship? I can't really say that, but, like, it should have been a fun basketball season.
No.
But it should have been a fun basketball season. Nice, we shouldn't be a meandering... 500 team. Like, that's not how it should have won. They won, I think they were the first team in NBA history to win 3 road games in a row by like 30 points.
Yeah, 30 points, yeah.
And in between those two were 2 wins over Denver and Atlanta. 2 quality teams. So, I mean, they were on fire beating actual good teams.
And they
not
haven't
just scrubs.
Beat Denver and Atlanta a lot in the past. I mean, they got the shit done last week.
Absolutely, absolutely. And,
they're definitely they're watchable now. That race looks like it's going to be a solid race the rest of the year.
And especially when it comes to the 76ers.
1-8, like, who knows how that's going to end up end of year.
Like, beating them by 50 or whatever, like, James Harden doesn't, like, fix that.
No.
Like, James Harden, dude, you lose
James
by,
James Harden,
like,
might make that worse.
Yeah, you lose by, like, 35. Like, that's all that changes
if
you had James Harden.
It's
the worst defensive player
how,
in the league.
You know how games like that go, and it's going that bad, you just fucking
tank either. They probably lose by 70. You're right. They lose by what?
We'll get back on the Celtics, but if you want to go all NBA on the conversation, I think the Brooklyn Nets absolutely fleeced the Sixers on that trade. I think they, James Harden is probably a 30-point-per-game score, but is he a winner? No chance in hell. You fleeced the Philadelphia 76ers of Seth Curry, who's been a predominant good starting point guard, who's going to be your backup point guard, because who you bring in is a number two, and Ben Simmons, who, you know, not the best shooter, but he doesn't have to shoot if he's distributing the ball to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Are you kidding me? And then Andre Drummond, who's going to be a perfect guy to fit in that five, backup five role. Well, all they're getting on the back end of it is just one guy, James Harden. Not to mention the Sixers gave away two first-round picks. I know those picks are probably going to be low in the draft.
But it doesn't really matter.
One player I don't think is going to make a difference. Oh, it's cool. They can sit. The only thing I've heard from these ESPN people or even on talk radio is, oh, yo, you're going to see that pick and roll between Joel Embiid and James Harden? Sick, dude. Where's the defense? Yeah, you'll see the blocking from Joel Embiid. But I would take the – right now I would take the Boston Celtics over the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's about fucking time. About time.
Five.
Any team on here, I would take Chicago over them. I would take Miami over them. I would take probably the Bucks in four.
The Celtics always beat the Sixers. That is just a fact. That's a fact.
Since they've become the Embiid Simmons Sixers, I have had zero respect for that team. Yeah, no. Zero.
And now
that it's worked, yeah. They've kicked their ass year in year. Like, even Joel was like, it's not a rivalry. They just beat the piss out of us.
And it's crazy to see. And unless the Brooklyn Nets come back with the vengeance, and I see that happening. I see them honestly going to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. This conference is wide open. I'm not saying the Celtics could beat all these teams in a series, but I'm saying, you know, the Bulls, the Heat, the Cavs, the Sixers, the Raptors, they all have a great chance for us. They're the only teams that I'm like, no way, if they're fully healthy and fully staffed, are the Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee Bucks. I think Giannis is a man on an absolute mission to Bulls? Go back to back.
Bulls?
No, Bulls. I would take – well, I'm not saying the Celtics would win that, but it would be a very competitive series.
DeRozan and Zach LaVine, we could easily fight with them. That would definitely be
a thing. Waiting for the moment where Jason Tatum solidifies himself as a top five player in this league, and for Jaylen Brown to solidify himself as a, I'd say, top 15 player. Because that's where they belong.
We're all waiting.
Eastern Conference Finals, we take down the Bucks. That's where it is. See you then.
We have so many missed opportunities when it comes to the playoffs. Like you're saying, sucks. What you get mad about is our potential and how much skill we have on paper. We're the youngest, most talented, most edgy team that can make the points, make these shots, play the defense, fucking absolutely want it, diving for balls, going for out of place, and then just comes to the playoffs, and I don't know, just sometimes just doesn't click. Especially when you talked about we used to lose to the who are you saying lose to? The
LeBron.
Suns and the Suns. And the Nuggets during the regular season. They play more team positional playing games. Instead of one person outshining the other, where you can have more of these one-on-one breakdowns, it's a lot Jokic, it's one person, but he plays a lot of team style play. So we're not
he's all over the place.
Same time.
Yeah.
Same thing when we're playing the 76ers, they're relying on Joel Embiid, they're relying on Ben Simmons, they're relying on these single players. So we can shut that down and then play our good defensive play we usually do. But once a team starts clicking, it's kind of hard to.
Watching
him in person is the coolest person to ever watch play basketball. It's absolutely fucking crazy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's incredible. It's four steps and he's down the court and he's dunking the ball and you're like, what the?
You think it's cheating? You honestly think it's cheating?
It's like fucked up.
There's guy had to have traveled.
Then you go back and he took three steps, but it was the whole court.
There's no way to defend it. If you were to even set a pick, he could from the free throw line, you'd have to literally be there already, and then he would just jump over you and it's fucking insane.
That's why
that
if the Boston Celtics can have any success, it's about the two J's. Don't get me wrong, but Rob Williams is going to be an important piece down the stretch.
100%. Because
the teams,
he's looking good too.
The teams that are in contention have big men. Joel Embiid, big men. I know Giannis Antetokounmpo can play at all, but he's considered a big man at least on the offensive side of the floor. Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, they're kind of teams that they don't wow you exactly. And from what you were speaking in past history of the Boston Celtics and them getting eliminated, outside of LeBron ending them every single year, it was only the Miami Heat who took them in the bubble. If they can avoid Milwaukee, if they can avoid Brooklyn, which honestly, if they sat in the position maybe at five, I think they'd be looking pretty good right now. I think five seed is where you need to be. You do not want to get in this play-in game shit with
definitely not.
Because 1-2. But it just avoid Milwaukee. At least the high ceiling for this team should be right now is winning a playoff series. Because that's what they didn't do that last year. They haven't, besides the last you know, 15 games. They haven't really wowed you with anything besides, you know, I think they have great talent. Anyone can say, oh, this team, you know, sucks. You can say no reason or whatever. But I think they do have tremendous talent. And I'm not talking about, you know, Marcus Smart on the offensive end or anything. Where I heard on the radio today. He was in the elevator with Cedric Maxwell, who's, you know, a Celtics Hall of Famer and does the play-by-play, and he was in the elevator with Marcus Smart, and Cedric was just like, you guys have been on a roll, and Marcus said, yeah, you started giving me the ball. They started giving me the ball, and you know how laughable that is? You know how funny? No. Like, that is comedy.
That guy.
Maybe it was a joke.
It sucks.
No, it was not.
he might have been joking.
He was playing the best basketball of his career, and I'm glad that injury like isn't as bad. When he went down, he looked toast.
To negate what I just said there, like, I will give him credit. He's a big part of what this team does well.
You flip flop on Marcus
Smart. No. But I'm not.
You'll never flip on his hustle. Yes, I know.
I'll never flip on the hustle and defensive side. I'll never flip on anything because I'll always have that defensive and, you know, hustle side. Because I'll never flip on his offensive input, and it shouldn't be too much. It should be just enough.
So let's hope he was joking to Cedric.
Derek White of like Derek White statistically, like box score wise, is like legitimately Marcus Smart.
Yeah, and that's
like he was like 12-6-6-2-2-2. Like it was the same.
And it makes Marcus Smart expendable because we still have White for the next 3 years or something.
I do not know his contract.
Did you watch? I didn't watch really too much of the
game. I'd rather the heart and soul than the numbers, though.
I had to work, but I watched the Sixers game Daniel Tice played. Did it seem like he even skipped a beat?
No. Tice basically said, like, I went there and just, like, waited to come back to Boston.
Yeah.
Like, he basically said, like, that sucks.
Oh, shit, Daniel Tice is back. Yeah. Like, no, like, was he hurt? Like, was he hurt the last 82 games? Yeah.
He was out with COVID.
Yeah. But, like, he had a long stage
of
COVID.
Yeah, long COVID.
Great stuff.
They
need
more streaks. More streaks.
No, you needed that because. A
couple more, like, 7-game, 8-game win streaks like that. They'll be looking sexy.
Shoot for five, and then we'll progress.
The Bruins aren't on the agenda tonight, but it's very promising. You see a team from Boston after the football season, you know, give you some type of confidence going in the postseason. Because with the Bruins, with Bergeron hurt, he's returning probably this weekend.
Back tonight.
And march tonight. There we go. And march on out for, you know, a couple more games. Yeah. It's been tough to see that roster. It's been tough to see that roster and our guy Swayman, who, you know, we're gonna see again on these microphones. I know it's gonna happen.
Coming soon, baby.
You gotta believe in that team because, you know, they need to make some moves at the deadline. But we'll talk about hockey now, and which was a huge game Monday night in the Bean Pod at the TD Garden. I caught, I think, the second and third period, which is all you really need to see after a 1-0 win. BU. Justin Peterson, right?
Dylan Peterson.
Game-winning goal. Last 3 minutes of the game. Steele, you watched the whole game. Give me the analysis, man.
Hell of a goal. Biggest save. So with the back two periods, the biggest thing anyone would have missed that missed the first period was basically a Michael Ryder save from one of the defensemen from BU.
Oh, booyah.
Like, he was absolutely, like, the goalie, other side of the net. Guy got the rebound, just looking at an open net. Close defenseman save. Dived right in front, saved it. So that was the big part of them. An overall electric game. It was so tough going into the third because the last Bean Pod, they skipped a year because of COVID. Northeastern won their third year in a row, beat BU in double overtime. BU outplayed them this entire game. They outshot him by like 10 shots, I think, 29-19, but a bunch of block shots. Like, it was much higher than that. And goalie for Northeastern was amazing. But this year, it would have gone to a shootout instead of double OT. And the entire
game. That's blasphemous.
The entire game screamed BU kicking their ass all game and losing a shootout. I was like, that's going to fucking happen. This sucks. Like, I was so pissed watching the whole thing.
Well, what's his name? I saw the Northeastern goalie had like 79 saves on like 81 shots, something like
unbelievable
that.
Unbelievable in this tournament.
He's tremendous.
That's crazy.
TJ Septim Felter. Wild name.
They're both,
may barely fit on the jersey.
I think they're both teams in the top 15 in the NCAA, so hopefully they both sneak in there.
Yes, and it was a hell of a goal.
I just think
it's the only way you could beat them.
Oh, yeah. I just think the really cool moment of it, your point, was not seeing this last year, not seeing those fans in the stands with the BU. Because that's sure, the games are epic. The games are awesome. But the fans in the stands were the Northeastern fan base with the BU fan base, or even, you know, we've seen in the past decade, it's usually BC. Not recently, last 4 years. Honestly, Northeastern's been in the last 4 years. But the BC-BU rivalry, you see those fans going at it back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Really cool sight to see. And if you haven't been to a Beanpot game yet, I suggest next year of going, because that's an electric
must-do. Like, you got to get to a Beanpot game. Yeah. It is electric.
Especially with Boston sports coming back, like you said, having everyone back in the stands, like, it's only going to get better. I feel like games are rowdier. Like,
oh, yeah.
People coming back, having that break, like, admiring not being in those stands. Like, now, fuck, even that golf tournament, like, guys throwing the beers on the fucking green and having a 30-minute delay. Like, yeah, people are just going nuts. So next year's going to be a good time. But, yeah, I wanted to go this year to the Beanpot. Didn't make it, but.
It's all right. It's all right. This next year. Another
back,
part of that that, like, wasn't in that game, BC has lost 12 in a row. Fuck them. For all of our BC listeners out there.
Another thing, too, I want to touch about hockey before we switch the subject. The Winter Classic was announced a couple weeks back that it's going to be at Fenway. I think New Year's this upcoming year.
Yes.
I don't know who they're playing yet, but that seems like a great time to go.
And I think, I forget who's playing there before. Obviously, like a couple college teams.
No, they get high school and college there, yeah.
I think, I forget. I saw something. Someone random's playing there randomly.
I think usually, like, it's either like Bentley or like Babson play there, like, usually when it's at Fenway.
Forget who.
I do not know this.
Either way, it's always a good time. Hopefully they don't get the, what was that, the Denver treatment or whatever it was, or Chicago.
When it was snowing?
Well, it was like 0 degrees. Yeah. I remember, shout out Grinelli from Spittin' Chicklets, but he Snapchatted his beer just like froze as soon as he got it.
Jesus.
Yeah. So
the worst is too, because it's outside and it snows, and they have to send the shovels out every like 5 minutes because there's like inches of snow on the ice. Like,
I think I'd rather snow than cold, dude. Cold, dude, you can't even.
You warm up. You fucking.
You can't hide anywhere. You can't hide anywhere.
Hide in the fucking net. Bury some deep. Let's go.
Sneak in some nips, dude. Grow up.
Yeah. You ever heard of a fucking
snobs and hot chocolate?
Yeah. I'm talking about the players for us. Like,
dude, they're going 100
yeah,
miles
playing
an hour,
hockey, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm worried about us.
How about the fourth line Grinders?
I'm worried about my beer freezing.
Guess what? Be better.
Yeah, yeah. Side note, Dylan Beat is
for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, oh yeah, fuck you.
Side note.
Yeah, I'd still be in warm-ups because we just played the JV game before the fucking real game.
I actually got your heat on.
Yes, I'd have the heater on flipping you guys off while I'm with your girlfriends in the stands, all right?
Whoa. There we go.
Bang.
Let's get a
debate going here. Let's switch the subjects. We've been wanting to do a debate between us for weeks. Pick your side and defend.
Honestly,
Kanye West or Pete Davidson?
Oh, fuck. You know who I'm on, and I know
you're on. It's a big subject this week.
You're a clown just like Pete, so I'm definitely team Ye.
Fuck. Well, I didn't want to pick Pete, but can we both be?
No.
All right, I'll defend him. Right. I'll defend this fucking jackass.
How are you going to defend that scumbag?
Scumbag.
Scumbag. He sent a picture of himself with Ariana Grande and Mac Miller knowing he was depressed.
That's already so not defendable. Let's just shit on Pete Davidson.
Yeah, no. Honestly, Magic, you can't defend this
You're
guy.
You're making me defend a guy who did that to Mac, who I love, and he's doing this to my guy, who I love.
I would rather.
And he's doing God knows what, probably not even fucking Kim, so fuck him. I don't know what he's doing.
I'd rather defend Osama bin Laden than fucking Pete Davidson. That guy's just fucking scumbag.
I'd go, yeah.
That butthole fucking looking scumbag.
New name Skeet Davidson.
Swindling. If you're fucking around with married women, you're a fucking scumbag. That's like literally rule number one.
Well, technically, I mean, they're married, but I'm
now, technically bullshit. Are you one of those fucking guys? Because you're gonna get a fucking 38. Right,
you find Brent, motherfucker. Here's a better debate.
They were on a break. We'll fucking debate if you watch Euphoria.
No, I have a new
you're
one.
Literally Cassie, and I'm fucking Maddie.
Yeah,
you're like,
good stuff.
You're like my boyfriend. You guys are broken up for 3 weeks.
I'm Cassie.
Yeah, you're Cassie.
At least I have the best tits in the world.
Amen, brother.
First of all,
I win.
First of all, just because they're bigger doesn't mean they're nicer. I would take Maddie's tits over Cassie's tits.
That's
you're nuts.
Oh
that
my
is,
god, you should leave right
no,
now.
No. You're not in this debate, Matt Steele. Whose side are you? Don't watch.
I'm the outside commentary.
You don't watch?
No, not a watch.
That's right.
We can turn it into
a home wrecking whore too.
I a new debate. Will Kanye kill Pete Davidson? Like, how does this end? Celebrity boxing wait, match?
Celebrity death match? Are we bringing it back?
Dude, yeah. Wait,
like, what is going to happen?
Can I ask something
Kanye's
quick?
Losing it.
Can I ask something quick?
No, he's not.
Like, how is Kid Cudi involved with, like,
he Eddie? Just was in a picture with Pete Davidson. And
yeah, yeah, that was done.
And
yeah,
Kanye crossed out Pete in the picture, and I don't... Maybe Kid Cudi said, like, why did you do that?
He made a resurgence because Joe Burrow was just like, that's my guy. And I am a bit... I like Kid Cudi. I like the soundtrack to my life.
I saw a video of Kid Cudi performing Day and Night at the... At the Joe Burrow, yeah. Like, loser after party. Like, that's a tough song to get hyped. I don't know.
He's depressed, dude.
I hope Joe Burrow smoked a fat blunt and was just like, I still got the swag. I'm still going to fuck Matt Stafford's girl tonight.
Oh, boy.
Is he married or anything?
He's married.
Absolute smoke show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, did anyone see the picture of supposedly Kanye dressed as the bush outside of Kim's house?
No. Love that, though. Yeah. It was him. It was him.
I saw a picture of just a bush just fucking outside of Kim's house. Kanye is like running away.
No, he lives across the street, right?
Oh, yeah. He explains in a song, he's like, what's the point of being rich if I don't just buy the house next to my ex-wife?
I couldn't agree more. He's doing it everything right.
Yeah,
right
that bush just gets closer, like 1 inch every night. Well, like just a little closer. Too, right?
Yeah, hey. The kids are going to be traumatized for life. That's a fact.
Well, one of the
their mother's a fucking amateur. Basically,
the kids' name is North, right? Like North,
yeah, North, West, and North Saint,
West and then Saint. Yeah, but the one Kanye's of the big,
doing this
one,
all for Jesus.
One of the big controversies is that because his daughter is using Vine or TikTok with Kim, and he's like, dude, I don't want my daughter on the internet. I'm pretty sure you have to be a certain age to be on this app anyway.
Makes sense,
unless you have a parent consent. So it's literally called like Kim and North's TikTok. So she can like is allowed to have one. So she's like going like against him on purpose, which I feel like is fucked up, which I wouldn't want either. Like, especially on the internet where it's a fucked up fucking negative place.
Yeah.
It's not a place for men for children.
Get off your phones, yeah. People.
So, that's what I mean. Like, how are you saying Kanye's going insane?
Get the guest. I'm okay. Team Kanye no matter what. I don't care what he does.
Just wrap it up here.
There's
I'm
really
team Kanye.
Nothing that Kanye could do that would make me be like, I don't love him.
Folks, want to thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for Ryan Roach for coming on the show and Hedgebetter for making this all possible. Big shout out to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance and Braintree, Granite Links Golf Club for making this happen. Big shout out to Justin over there too. You do a great job over there.
Thank you.
Thanks for your input tonight on golf. That was good stuff.
No, I appreciate you guys. You guys are always hustling, crushing it, and happy to have you guys here.
Glad to have you back.
Big live show coming. Make sure you guys all come up.
They heard in the intro. They'll make it happen. That's all from Steel and Naz. Be safe out there.
Peace.
Have a day.